Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. You know, the Bible tells us that God has lived in three houses on earth. He lived in the temple. Solomon built the temple, and then he came the perfect house, was Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself came to earth, and now he lives in you and I, his third home. The Bible says our body is the temple of God, and this morning, I want us to think about the house of God. It says in chapter 29, verse 1, Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you so much for the privilege that you allowed us a day to get up and come to your house and worship you. And Lord, we realize that if you do not speak to our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives inside of each and one that is born again. And Lord, I prayed this morning that you will speak through your word, that we might hear it and we might obey it. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen. Now, I want to think about these three events as we learn from the priests and the Levites about how to worship God in our lives. Now, I want you to notice something. We just read the first two verses of chapter 29. But look over in chapter 28 at the first verse. We see the condition of the house of the Lord in chapter 28. And we better understand chapter 29. In verse 1 of chapter 28, it says Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king. There's only five differences in the ages of these two kings. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, as his father David had done. So Hezekiah, who was king, did not do what was right in the sight of God. But the Bible says in 29, Hezekiah did what was right. Ahaz did not do what was right. Hezekiah did that which was right. So in chapter 28, we see the condition of the house of the Lord. Hezekiah, the first thing he did in chapter 2 and 29, 2 Chronicles 29, first thing he did in verse 3, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Now in 28, I get these two kings all going here. King Ahaz is king, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Hezekiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. The ungodly young man led the people away from God. The godly young man led the people towards God. Ahaz led the people to abandon God and all that he was. The Bible says in verse 2, look at it, for he walked in the ways of the king of Israel and made images of the Baals. In other words, the false gods. He made images, molded them and made them so that they would worship those false gods instead of worshiping the one true God, the living God. He led people to worship false gods in his kingdom. We see just how wicked things had become when we read in chapter 28, verses 3 and 4, that he burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burned his children with fire. Boy, how bad can you get? He offered burnt incense and offered his children, burned them for the Lord. Not only that, he restored high places. At the high places, it says, and under every tree and on every hill was places of immorality, prostitution. Everything wicked was under King Ahaz. He was a wicked king. And the Bible says this is the condition of the land. And they walked, the people walked in his footsteps. They followed the leadership of their king. And their king was a wicked, wicked king. Man, look at the defilement of God's house. Verse 24, it literally says, of chapter 28, it says here, so Ahaz gathered the articles of the house of God, cut in pieces the articles of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every single city, oh, he made high places and burned incense to other gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his father. Every place in the temple. Can you imagine someone coming in here and just taking a chainsaw and just cutting our pews into little pieces, cutting the altar here all to pieces, just literally turning it over and stomping it and breaking it up. A few years ago, there was a church over in Tyler, beautiful church. One night, some of the people broke in, some young people broke in and built the altar there, offered a sacrifice upon the Lord's Supper table, and then set it all afire. Preacher came in and found all of that, and it had been burned out, and it was just a tragic mess. They really destroyed that beautiful sanctuary. Well, we sometimes have people that do things like that. But Ahaz, the wicked king, literally cut to pieces the temple of God. All the inside destroyed. Now, this is the condition of the temple. And the Bible says he walked out and shut the doors as if to say, I'm through with it. I've destroyed the temple. I'm shutting the doors. And the people were following him. This is the condition that you find as it leads into chapter 29. And Ahaz reigned 16 years. And you can imagine, after Hezekiah took over as king, young man, 25, he went back to the temple, the outside, beautiful marble. But on the inside, after 16 years, can't you imagine the spider webs? Can't you imagine the dust that has just taken over that beautiful temple? All the articles broken, destroyed. When he comes to reign, he finds how run down the temple. Nobody has gone there to worship. They're worshiping in the high place. And Hezekiah, the Bible says, takes over. And the first thing he did in verse 3, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. The first order of business was to open the doors of God. open the doors to the house of God. And verse 16 of that says, and the priest brought out all of the debris. Can you imagine? Everything broken and sawed up and chopped to pieces. Of course, they didn't have chainsaws in days, so they chopped it with axes. The whole building was in a shameful condition. And it's a picture of the sinfulness, you see, of the people of God at that time. They weren't worshiping God. They were worshiping these molten images of Baal. And what is true then is true about God's house often, very often in our time and day. Folks, God's present house, our lives right here where He lives, are often as dry spiritually as the temple in Ahaz's day. Maybe you're here today, and that's your life. Oh, the outside. We dress up, boy, we put on our finest we have, you know. We walk around looking like a queen or something, or a king or something. We wear our suits and we wear our ties, and we go out, and our lives on the outside show one thing, but on the inside, they're spiritually dry. And our lives are defiled because we have unconfessed sin in our lives. And no wonder our churches are dwindling. No wonder baptisms are down across, as a whole, across America today. We look good on the outside. We build fine buildings on the outside. But inside, where God lives in the lives of the church, the body of Christ, we're as dry as 16 years of dust in that temple. And it says, the priest went into the inner part, and the uncleanness they found in the temple. I wonder today if you could take an X-ray of your life and look at your life on the inside, what would you see? Secret sins, hiding places where you say you want to give God your life and commit to God, but yet you leave a room that is full of debris. They went all the way to the innermost part of the temple and cleaned it out, folks. I wonder what would be exposed in our lives. I hear all the time on television, a minister has fallen from the congregation because of somebody exposed something that he was hiding in his life. Your young man not long back was a preacher, great, good preacher, not a great preacher, but a good preacher. Seems like I have a heart for missions, but his life was exposed to be a fraud. In Luke 11:39, Jesus says, now you Pharisees make clean on the outside the cup and clean the dish, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. You see, Jesus looked past the heart, doesn't he? He looked past the heart and he says, listen, you Pharisees and you scribes, you are dirty and you have defiled the things of God. And on the inside, there's no beauty at all. Wonder what he sees in our lives today. What would he see in your life this morning? Unconfessed sin? You know, I know how it goes sometimes on Sunday morning. You get up and you're going to go to church, and before you even get to church, you and your wife are having a falling out. You know, one's late and one's not late. And, you know, your children, you're aggravated at your children, and you're aggravated at the world, you're aggravated at things. and you come to church and you start smiling. Something's wrong, isn't it? Sometimes our lives are full of dirt. Just the same as Hezekiah found in the temple when he opened the doors. There was roosting places there for the birds. And I believe in our lives you'll probably have a lot of roosting places for carnal thoughts or debris or jealousy. You see, a lot of churches have jealous people in them. Oh, we're jealous of so-and-so because they did this and they did that, and we can't do this and that. So we get jealous. There's also hatred. There's also envy. There's also that coldness and indifference in our lives. We see it every day in our churches. Is God's house on earth defiled? I believe it is today. I believe it's poor condition today. On the outside, it might still look pretty impressive. But you open the doors to Jesus Christ, and all he sees on the inside is filth. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 4:5, Paul spoke of the Lord coming. It says here, he will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of our heart. You know, we think sometimes, well, I've got all of this hid. Nobody can see it. But let me tell you something. The only one that counts can see it, and he's God. And he knows your hidden conditions. He knows your sinfulness. He knows your bitterness. He knows your anger. He knows your envy. He knows your jealousy. He knows every unconfessed sin that's in your life. And I believe if we ever want to have revival again in America, our churches have got to move in and get the filth out of their lives. Literally, get the filth out. Folks, our eyes are filled with all kinds of wrong advertisement. I'm amazed how people can sit at home. You know, I love to watch Westerns and television, but every time a commercial comes on, it's just filth, seems like. It's degrading to a family. It's degrading to a husband. It's degrading to a wife. It's degrading to our kids. And yet, many times and in many places, the parents go right on and let their kids watch that kind of stuff. And it's destroying not only their lives, it's destroying the families that we have here in America. Jesus saw their hearts. He knows how cold and indifferent you are. How many church members are not here today? Simply because they are cold and indifferent in their life. Well, they don't do what I want them to do up there, so I'm going to get my stuff and go home. Somebody not long ago tell me, you know, said, oh, well, I didn't get what I wanted, so I think I'm going to find me another church. Just acting like a kid, that's what a kid does. And I said, you're nothing but a big baby. You're nothing but a baby. And it's shameful that you haven't grown out of all of these years. Go home. Pick up your Bible and read it. Confess your sin. Get your life right so that you can have revival. Well, there's the condition of the house. The house is pretty bad condition. But look at the cleansing of the house. The first order he gives was to open the doors, and the second order, he says, let's clean the thing out. Let's cleanse the temple. You see, cleansing is commanded. Bring the Levites and the priests together in verse 5, and he says, sanctify yourselves and the house of the Lord. So the order was to literally get all the filthiness out of the holy place. Isn't that what Jesus Christ commands us to do? Our King of Kings and Lord of Lords says, listen, get the filthiness out of your life so that I can have full reign in your life. You see, God's Spirit must be awful grieved in some of our lives, things we do. How many times this week have I grieved the Holy Spirit? when I may have said something that was uncalled for or did something that was displeasing to God. How many times, think about it, as you go through the week, do you grieve the Holy Spirit? You say, well, I didn't know that. Yes, He lives right here. If you're saved, you're born again. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. And every time you look at something, every time you read something, every time you say something that is displeasing to God, you grieve the Spirit. And the Bible says we need to confess that. So this same command is given to every born-again believer. If there are sins unconfessed, we need to confront those sins. We need to get them right so that we can be forgiven for them. I think of David in Psalm 32, verse 5. David says, Lord, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. He says, Lord, I have sin in my life, and I'm coming to acknowledge that. I'm going to confront my sin, Lord, and my iniquities I have not hidden, Lord. David, a man, the Bible says, after God's own heart, David, a man that they followed after. One followed not after King David. The other followed after King David. You see? Confess means to hold out your hands to God and let Him see. I can remember, I went home to Mother's house this week. Went down to Mother's house and we sat down and we didn't eat. I haven't been eating a whole lot lately. But, you know, usually she wants to fix a big meal for you. But I can remember as kids, we was out, we had a hog farm, we had a goats and everything else. And those things are not the cleanest animals around. And we'd play a lot. And we'd be all over the corrals and things like that, all over the gates and everything, swinging from the barn rafters and everything, you know, like kids do. And we'd come in, she'd say, go wash your hands, and man, the bathroom, we'd run. We'd come back and start to sit down, and she'd say, wait a minute, hold out your hands. She's going to make sure we washed them. And sometimes, you know, we hit a lick and miss. Kids don't matter. It don't matter how germy they are. But to mama, it does. And she'd make us hold out our hands. And you know what? If those hands weren't clean, we'd go back. And she'd say, use soap and water this time. I don't know how you washed them last time, but not a whole lot of soap and not a whole lot of water. But she'd do that. Well, you know what? That's what David is saying here. He confessed to the Lord. He held out his hands to God. So he says, Lord, here's my life. Lord, here's my sins. And here's my iniquities. And he came before God and says, Lord, my hands are dirty. I want to confess it to you. And then over in Psalm 51, 2, he says, Lord, wash me thoroughly. Cleanse me, Lord, from my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sin that I might be free from that. It's the same thing we need to do. If we're hiding sin in our life this morning, oh, you may hide it pretty good. You may hide it from your wife. You may hide it from your children. You may hide it from your husband. You may hide sin in your life. But God sees it. And you need to hold out your hands to God and say, Lord, here's my sins. Would you wash me? Would you clean me this morning so that I will be clean? You see? One of the things we need to do with God's temple is get all the filth out of it. And I don't know what you might be hiding, but more than likely, there's something that you have left unconfessed that we need to clean out. So cleansing is commanded by God. Not only that, cleansing needs to be complete. In verse 16, the priest went in and gathered, the Bible says, all the uncleanliness. They literally cleaned out everything of the temple. Listen, when God convicts you of a sin, don't mess around with it. Confess it. Put an end to it. You know, get rid of it. If you're full of anger, confess it. If you've lied, confess it. If you've got some immoral thing in your life, confess it to God. Get rid of it. Confess it and repent of it. Don't pick it up anymore. Turn around and walk away from it, see? Make a clean sweep of the temple. Get completely clean out of your life. Then we can have revival. Then you will have revival in your life. Don't leave that little closet for the devil to nest in. You see, we want to clean out every room. There was a tract went around years ago, and it was talking about rooms in our heart. And we went to the living room, and we cleaned out of our heart all the filth. And we went to the kitchen, and we cleaned out all the filth of our heart. We went to the bedroom, and we cleaned out all the filth. And the bathroom, and cleaned out all the filth. But there's one little room, a little broom closet. We decided we'd leave it. And you know what? Before long, our heart is dirty again. Because we leave room for the devil. And when we convict, when God convicts you of a sin, get rid of it. Clean it all out. Get away from it. Well, there's the condition of the temple. And there's the cleansing of the temple. The last thing is the consecration of the temple. The king says, now you have consecrated yourselves in the Lord. Come near and make sacrifices and offerings of the house of the Lord. You know what? When one of the first order of business was when they cleaned out the temple, all the people rejoiced and gave praises to God. And they offered burnt offerings, so many that the Levites had to come in and help the priest with the offering, peace offerings, thank offerings, drink offerings. Oh, man, let me tell you something. When a church gets right, when a person gets right, the first thing that person wants to do when all the sin is gone is give God the glory and just say, thank you, Lord, for saving my life. So many of us need that this morning, is to clean out the temple of God. Get rid of all the filth. Hezekiah rejoiced, the Bible says. And guess what? All the people rejoiced with him. They followed after Hezekiah. They followed after what he did. He led people to worship God. Ahaz led them to abandon God. And the Bible says in verse 17, on the eighth day, on the first day of the first month and on the eighth day of the month, they came to the vestibule of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and on the 16th day of the first month, they finished. Eight represents a new beginning. They begin anew, worshiping God in the temple. The temple had been cleansed. Hezekiah has set it all back up. The priest had offered sacrifices of thanksgiving, and the temple was restored, and there's a new attitude about the worship of things. There's a new attitude about God's holy things. Now, I must admit, I'm a bit disturbed about how we've lost respect for the house of God. I can't believe some things I see that go on. I'm not talking about coats and ties. You know, used to preachers preach, they preach in a coat and a tie, and I do that too when it's cooler than 100 degrees out there. But there's a coat and tie. I enjoy wearing a coat and tie when it's cool because I want to show respect to the Lord all the time. But it bothers me when I see people come into the church and today you say, take off your hat, sir. They wear their hats in church. It bothers me when we come into the church and we've got cold drinks and chips and we sit there and eat them while the preacher preaches. It's kind of like going to a show. We've lost respect for the things of God. One day, it'll all be revealed. Verse 35 says, and God's holy things were set in order. One day, everything was set in order, and the temple began to see life. The country began to see life. And let me tell you something. When a church or when a church member gets right with God, or when you get right with God, the first thing, one of the first things you want to do is get in God's house. You know, somebody said, how many church members you got? And I said, well, I think we got about 1,000. He said, how many come? And I said, I think about 200. What's wrong? The people, they're not right with God. Folks, we need to get right with God. If we were right with God, if we could get out and do what we're supposed to do and get everything right with God, and our people would get revival. And it starts right here with the preacher. When I'm pointing at you, I'm pointing four fingers back at me, you see. But when we all get right with God and revival breaks loose, let me guarantee you, it's going to be an exciting day to come to church. Man, I just rejoice when I hear music like we've heard. I don't know where you'd have to pay to get that any other place. And you can get that on Sunday morning for free. All you have to do is come. You can even sing in the choir and be a part of the music if you want to. You don't have to carry a tune. They offered to let me sing up there. You see? It's a joyful noise. But then they kicked me out because it wasn't so joyful. And I'm just kidding. But do you need some things thrown out of your life? Think about it. Would you bring them to Jesus this morning and leave them at the altar and just get with God and say, Lord, I want to show you my hands. I want a clean heart. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. He's waiting on you. Would you come? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Lord, we pray this morning, if there's something in our lives that we've got hidden, or there's something in our life that we just need to confess, Lord, may we come to the altar. And may we get it right. Lord, we don't want to worry about what other people think. It's between you and I. And Lord, I just pray that we'll make that known to you. That we'll open up our hands and say, Lord, I've got some cleaning to do. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it.